This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. When the water pipes in your home get clogged, you lose your main source of liquid. Very inconvenient. When the blood pipes in your body clog, you die. Dr. Markham, let's dive right in. Here's the question. I had recent testing and all of my arteries are significantly blocked. I want to go the natural way. Some say bypass, while others say chelation therapy, and yet others insist that diet and exercise is the way to go. I want to have another opinion. What say you?
Wow. Well, you know, I get this question a lot, and I think we should back up and answer this question so many people that have the same problem might understand. First of all, coronary disease is a blockage in the arteries. Blockages that are made up of fats and cholesterol and plaque and all sorts of interesting things. But this blockage can occur in any blood vessel in the entire body. So I assume that everyone out there, Charles, has some element of vascular disease. If it's in the coronaries, we call it coronary artery disease.
The heart. Okay.
If it's in the brain, we call it cerebral vascular disease.
Yes.
So we can have blockages that affect the blood supply into every organ or body. Why is this so important? Well, when a blood supply doesn't get to an organ, that organ fails to function correctly and dies.
Because blood contains the necessary ingredients for life in an organ.
Yeah, blood brings oxygen. Oxygen is essential for life. It also brings nutrients. So no blood, organ malfunction, it dies.
All right.
Well, our most important organs, the brain and the heart, you know, we need them every second.
Yes.
Now, if your foot doesn't get enough blood, you know, they can do an amputation. If one of the kidneys doesn't get enough blood, they can take out one kidney. And lots of arteries and vessels go everywhere and they have multiple supplies of blood vessels.
Right, right.
So you have a backup. But the heart arteries, when one of them gets clogged up, it's a big deal. So I assume everyone has some blockages in them. Because that's a good assumption. So everyone gets sort of the natural plan, you know, of what can I do naturally, which is to get back to a whole food plant-based diet that takes care of the food part, get to an exercise program, drink lots of water, and then work on all the stressors in our life, especially our brain stressors. Mm-hmm. In coronary disease, the stress that we have from our brain might be just as dangerous as the food stress we eat.
Hmm.
Worry, guilt, anxiety, stress, fears, phobias.
How is it that when you are stressed in the brain, this is not a stressor as in the environment or some other kind of stressor, but your thoughts are stressing you. How does that affect a coronary artery?
Yeah, well, that chemistry that comes from stress, we make chemicals like adrenaline, which speeds up our heart, constricts our blood vessels. It puts our body under stress, makes our blood more likely to clot.
It changes the diameter of a coronary artery.
Yes, and it can also make our blood more likely to clot, because if you're under stress, your body wants to stay alive.
Yes.
And
yes.
if you're bleeding, you want to clot.
Yes.
It makes cortisol. It causes inflammation to go up. Lots of other chemicals we don't understand under the stress reaction occurs. So stress changes the chemistry of the entire body. But more than that, people try to deal with stress. And sometimes they pick up bad habits to deal with the stress.
Smoking, drinking,
not exercising, eating the wrong types of foods because it helps them cope. So the brain is important in preventing coronary disease. The food we eat is important. Our lifestyle habits important. And of course, we can't really change our genetics, but all of these things modify our genetics. I had a gentleman that came to me not too long ago that was 55 years old, and he did everything right, he thought. And he says, well, why did I get sick? Why did I have a heart attack? And I said, well, how old was your dad? He says, 42.
Mm.
So I go, healthy living got you 13 years. I saw someone in the office recently that said, I'm healthy. And yet they had blockages throughout their body. And I said, well, you know, did your parents have anything? No. The food you ate, they were on a very healthy diet. I said, well, what about your stress? They've been under terrible stress their entire lives. We talked in previous programs about how the body's more complicated. Yes. So there's many factors that initiate coronary disease. So in a person that's not having symptoms, I want them to get to that natural plan. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're having a symptom, if you can't walk because you have a symptom, you're short of breath, pain in the chest, arms, back, fatigued, especially when you're doing things, that's when modern medicine might be able to help you. Does modern medicine fix the problem? No, it does not. You still have the disease, but we treat the symptom so you might be able to do more. So you might be able to exercise more. Of course, if you're having a heart attack and the blood is not getting there, yes, you want something right away, right, because that can save your life. That's the best place for modern medicine, yeah, is if someone's having an acute problem. But then when they come back after they've had the stent or after the bypass, I said, you know what? That just treated the symptom and now you feel better and you can walk more. But now let's talk about the cause, and we get back to those naturals. Now, there's sometimes this question says, well, should I have a bypass, a stent, or the natural route? A lot of that depends on where the blockages are and how much symptoms they're having. If they have blockages in little tiny vessels, well, we're not very successful with stents or bypasses. Yeah. If they're a big important vessel and they're having symptoms, yes, then that person might need a stent or a bypass, and then let us work on the cause of disease. Does that make sense?
It does. And that brings up a question that a lot of people ask. We've heard of blockages, a 50% blockage, 80%, 90%. Is there a magic number where you, Dr. Markham, a cardiologist, says, okay, you've crossed the line, it's now time for us to get in there and do something?
That's typically of a person that would walk across the room or do something, and when the heart does something and it doesn't get enough blood, it has a symptom. It malfunctions.
Has pain.
Yeah, so this person might have pain, might have shortness of breath when they're doing things, okay, might have pain in the arm, the jaw, and that's a warning system that this is an unstable situation.
Okay.
This is the person that probably benefits the most from modern medicine,
right,
having a bypass that goes south of that blockage to bring that artery and that heart extra blood, having a stent that opens it up that would squish it.
Yeah.
But again, the problem is still there. We've just helped the symptom out, given the person more time so they can get at the cause of disease.
Well, you're just making it clear here that anytime you have buildup, whether it's 20, 30, 40%, you are at risk.
Yes, and that can occur anywhere in the entire body, Charles.
Yes.
Well, another thing that we want to do is we want to have the arteries, the ability that even if they have blockages, to get bigger, you know, to get bigger when you do things. We know that certain substances that we eat, fats, for instance, animal fats, when we take animal fats, it paralyzes the arteries so they can't get bigger.
Oh.
And there's a substance in our body called nitric oxide. And now we know that people that eat a whole food plant-based diet, the arteries can get bigger because they make more nitric oxide.
So even if you have clogging there, the artery, while you're trying to heal, can get bigger to let more blood through.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's certain things, if we can get fat, especially animal fat, out of our diet, the plaques tend to be more stable because animal fats tend to cause a process called oxidation and inflammation in the arteries. So one of the things that I always tell people, we want to move them towards a whole food, plant-based diet. We want to work on the stress. We want to work on all the other things that we can to lower their risk of them needing to have a stent or a bypass. So that's sort of the overall view of how to approach a person with blockages in their arteries. But I assume, Charles, that everyone that I meet has at least some blockages somewhere. If you have stress, if you eat the wrong diet, if you have bad genetics, we have to assume that you have this, what I call hidden disease, and we don't want it to become a silent killer. There's Dr. Esselstyn. He's had a group of patients that he really puts them on no fats. They eat a whole food, plant-based diet, and he can almost make them heart attack free.
Wow.
The disease becomes stable. You know, the arteries get bigger. They can actually, if you eat well enough, you can regress this disease. The body can pull out the plaque.
Pull out the plaque.
Yeah, there's something called high-density lipoprotein that can go up and make the plaque smaller. And in his studies, one in three patients showed evidence that they can reverse disease. Every year, I put people on a special diet, add some stress reduction techniques, and they can do more on the treadmill. They can exercise more before they hurt. They can actually have a chance of not only stabilizing the plaque, but making their arteries more healthy.
Well, you've just answered the two questions here that I wanted to bring up next. This is from Heartwise Ministries. What exactly is a heart attack? Well, a heart attack is when an artery gets clogged.
Not always, okay? There's different types of heart attacks, okay?
Yeah.
We talked about the type that's the most common because of the food we eat, but you can also have a heart attack if the artery spasms because it doesn't get enough blood either. So you could have this artery
completely clean,
and it spasms down. Blood doesn't go there, but the artery doesn't have plaque. So that's another type of heart attack. Okay. Cold weather, people that do lots of caffeine can sometimes trigger this. Drugs, cocaine is very common.
These are the only arteries we have going to our heart. Why are we doing things that are hurting the only arteries we have providing blood and nutrients to our heart? Why are we doing that?
Some people don't know of the danger.
Okay, you know? Well, they know now.
So that's another type of heart attack. Another one is sometimes a clot can float down those arteries that comes from somewhere else. Now, that's a very rare type, and we don't see the spasms that much. By far, the most common is what we've talked about, the clots.
The clot that happens someplace else comes wandering through the system and then it ends up right here and
then,
closes it off. Even
if a small artery gets clogged off, the heart becomes unstable. And when it becomes unstable, you have these funny heart rhythms.
Yes, it's those heart rhythms.
When the heart rhythms go crazy, you don't get blood enough to your head, and then things go downhill from there pretty quickly. And that's some of the different types of heart attacks.
Can we assume that if we have a buildup at point A, probably point B, C, and D, and F have buildup as well?
Yeah. If you have one plaque, there's a chance you have other plaques throughout your body. Okay. And our goal is to keep them as stable as possible or to not have them.
We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to go to the Bible, that wonderful prescription book that has good news for us. And we're going to look at some of the things that God says that we can do to bring healing into our lives. And it's available to everyone free of charge. Stay tuned.
HeartWise with Charles Mills is brought to you by supporters of HeartWise Ministries. We are so grateful to be able to follow Christ's example of caring for others' physical needs and then encouraging them to experience a restorative relationship with our Heavenly Father. God intended for life on earth to be immeasurably better than the world we live in today, and He wants to restore His vision for this world one heart at a time. Consider becoming a HeartWise partner and help others catch the vision of what Christ wants to do in their hearts today by visiting us online at heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham. We're talking about heart disease on today's program. One of the scariest things I've heard in interviews with people is this, that when parents, moms, are having a high-fat diet and eating a lot of dairy and meat and whatnot, they have found arterial streaking in unborn children.
Yeah.
Unborn children, the streaking happens inside the baby before it's born.
And that brings up a whole nother program sometime. You know, the women that carry children, you know, all the things that they do affects the growing mind.
They're setting them up for heart disease from day one.
Yes, and all sorts of other diseases, you know, and we'll have to talk about that sometimes. You know, the food we eat, the stress that pregnant women are under, all that affects the developing brain too. So we already know about the fatty diet.
Yes, you know, you pass
that on to the ones that you're nurturing and taking care inside of you.
Okay. Let's go to the Bible, God's prescription book, and let's read a verse. Listen to this. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. This is Exodus 23, 25. This is God speaking to the children of Israel. I will take it away. God's blessing will be on your food and water. I guess we need to eat food and water that God has blessed. And is there an indication someplace what that food is?
Yeah. And I love that text, Charles, because it says, I will take away sickness.
Sickness.
You know, and so it ties sickness in to food and water.
Food and water, yes.
And that we know that's a large component.
And the source of food and water.
Yeah. And years ago, the Greek doctor, Dr. Hippocrates, said, let food be thy medicine.
Yes.
And that was a very wonderful thing. And we know that God gave us, and we're now proving it with the studies that are out there, that a whole food plant-based diet, the studies that have been done by Dean Ornish, by Dr. Esselstyn, and others have really proven that that's the healthiest diet for our arteries, can reverse disease, make these arteries bigger, that our standard fat-filled American diet is not so good at all. And yet here we're giving a scripture years before God told us at creation, we'll eat fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. Daniel and his friends, another story about pulse and water, as if, you know, we had to be reminded again. And then down in the Israelites, remember, they wanted to eat birds instead of manna,
yeah.
and then they got all sick.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is a very good text that God has known all along. Now the science is, again, proving that the Bible has great prescriptions for us. Water's another good prescription. When we're dehydrated, that raises our risk of cardiovascular disease via stress mechanisms.
Yeah.
When you're dehydrated, more stress, more clotting. When you're dehydrated, you're more likely to clot. If you have a block in a clot, not so good, Charles. So another excellent, excellent text.
We talk often of biblical technology and we say, look in the Bible for prescriptions. That was what we're talking about. It's there.
Yeah.
It's right there. The principles that God laid out in Genesis and then repeated throughout the Bible for our health, it's there. That's where you go first to find the answers. You look in the Bible. You'll be surprised at how many diseases you will not get. How many lifestyle diseases especially you will not get if you simply follow what God had in mind from the very beginning. Okay, questions that have come into heartwiseministries.org on heart. Can a heart attack be predicted?
I get that question a lot. But when I talk to somebody in the office and they tell me that they smoke, that they have diabetes, that they're under stress.
Red flags, red flags.
I say, I can't predict it, but if we don't make choices, you're going to be at a high risk group.
There you go.
You can do a stress test. That's where we walk on a treadmill and not have a symptom at all and still have a heart attack tomorrow if one of these plaques get unstable and break. So a stress test only really tells me that if I think your symptoms right now is from your heart and whether I think you might benefit from one of modern medicine's procedures like a stent or a bypass or even more medications. So can a heart attack be predicted? No, but we can tell people that are at greater risk than others.
Okay.
A person that eats a whole food plant-based diet, that keeps their stress under good control, that don't have a genetic tendency, that has their blood pressure good, they're under the lowest risk.
Right.
So I don't, you know, worry as much about
them.
There's
no guarantees in this world.
No, there's no guarantees, but they're at a lower risk. But unfortunately, they're going to claim, well, a lot of these tests that we can get, blood tests that predict heart attack. None of it predicts heart attack, but it might be able to help with who's at risk, who's not at risk. Everyone is focused on cholesterol.
Yeah.
Remember, that's just one component of a disease. It's much more complicated by the chemical mechanisms, as we found out.
And that's why modern medicine wants to focus so much on cholesterol.
Yes.
They have a pill for it.
Yes,
they have a bullet for that particular part.
But as we found out, for a while, they thought all heart attacks were from cigarettes.
Yeah.
Now it's gone to cholesterol. Now it's unstable plaques.
Yeah.
So it's all one bullet things, but it's more complicated than that.
So the stress test tells you what exactly?
If you had chest pain and I couldn't tell what it was coming from, and I said, I'm not sure whether that's your heart or not, I put you on the treadmill and make your heart work.
Yes.
And if your heart works hard and you start having that symptom again, or parts of the heart don't get enough blood, I would say, yes, that symptom is from your heart, and you know, you're going to need further investigation and evaluation.
Yeah.
But if you walk 10 or 12 minutes, never have a symptom, the stress test is completely normal, and we have ways to look at the heart. We look at whether you have the symptom. We look at the EKG. Sometimes we can image the heart.
Yeah.
That means look at it dynamically.
Yeah.
We can do that with sound waves. We call that a stress echocardiogram. We can look at nuclear medicine to see how it flows. We call that a nuclear stress test. So those are all things that can predict whether we think your symptoms are for your heart. And also, we can tell us if we think surgery or further treatment would be a benefit to you. But a lot of people think that stress tests predict heart attacks. It does not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you can have a completely normal stress test and still have a heart attack.
All right. Okay. Very good. This question here that came into heartwiseministries.org website, this is some that... We seem to know so much. We have so much medicine. We have so much information. We know what to do. This question is, why are heart attack rates so high? If we know what to do and we have all this modern science, why are we still having heart attack rates? Why are they still high?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, the heart attack rates in America is running right around 600,000.
That's 600,000 too many.
Well, that's total deaths from heart disease,
okay,
and heart attacks are the most common.
One is too much.
600,000. That number stayed high through the years despite all of our technology. And our technology to treat the heart immediately with a stent or a bypass or with medicines to stabilize, we've got better at that.
Yeah.
And if a person comes in fairly quick, we can help restore blood flow, but we haven't reversed the cause of the disease.
Mm.
So if you think about it, heart attack rates are going to continue to be high until we can get at the cause of heart attacks. And I think we touched on this a little bit, the cause of heart attacks. We can't change our mom and dad, okay? But we talk about the food, the fatty foods we eat. We're eating more fatty foods, processed foods than ever before. And we've seen in the studies out that, if we can move towards a whole food, plant-based diet, we can lower that risk dramatically. But we're not getting out there and talking about that from the rooftops, even though that's very important. I'm also understanding that the brain and stress, how that plays a role too. And yet our society is more stressed out than ever at places that we don't even think, you know, we're staying up later, all the media, all the things we're doing. We think we have to work 24/7. We're just busy all the time. That causes all this stress chemistry to be turned on. We eat some bad foods and, you know, we start getting it in utero.
Right,
Before you know it, we're a society that's filled with coronary disease. So the heart attack rates are so high because we're not getting at the cause. Once we start getting at the cause, the heart attack rates will be coming down. But we do a really good job if a person has a symptom. And if anyone out there is having a symptom, when you do something, if you don't feel right above the waist, if you're having pain that won't go away, seek medical attention right away. Because still, 1 in 3 people that have a heart attack still die within the first year. So if you don't get help, the instability that happens from the heart can be terrible.
Because what they did in the hospital did not fix the problem.
Right. It did not fix the problem. Right. It treated the symptoms. You know, even people that have had bypass surgery and stents, that hasn't lowered their risk of heart attack. Their risk of heart attack is still there. In some cases, it might be higher if we've damaged the blood vessel. Does this make sense?
It does.
You know, and the problem is sometimes I think we make it more complicated. And we're out there and all this technology makes it so complicated. The media spins it their way. And before you know it, people are so confused about their hearts that they don't know the simple things that they can do to take care of their hearts.
People do not want to know the truth. Many people, I have a neighbor that had a massive heart attack and had to go, and he had triple bypass and everything. And he was overweight and pouchy, little gut sticking out there, and he didn't exercise very much. So when he came back, he says, you know, I'm gonna take care of myself. But you know what? I've seen that he hasn't. He's now overweight and pouchy and doesn't exercise very much. He thinks he's fixed. They don't want to know the truth because the truth is going to maybe make you make some changes. You may have to change your diet, the way of exercise, and the way you think, the way you believe, the structure of your life. You may have to make changes. And people don't want to do that. They would rather take the risk and use the life that got them sick and say, well, now that I've had my problem, I'm not going to have it again. The doctor has fixed it. I'm fine. I have these bypasses in there. They're working fine. And I pass this guy every day on the mailbox and I wave at him. He waves at me and I realize that he is setting himself up for the exact same problem that he had before. And this time he may not make it through.
Yeah. And all we can do is love people and not judge them. And hopefully that God will work in their lives to make these little changes. And when I see someone that dies of a heart attack, it just bothers me. That's why when they come into the office, I tell them that I love you enough to tell you the truth.
And that's what we're doing here. Yeah. I love you enough to look you right in the eye and say, here's the truth. What you do with it, that's your responsibility. But the fact that we're here and Dr. Markham is here saying this, that's our responsibility. And we want to make sure that we are here for you. And isn't that right, Dr. Markham?
That's exactly right, Charles.
Okay, all right. Well, one of the things that we have to show you is not only the Bible text, we also want to take you into the throne of grace. We want to take you to the master physician and sit you down and let him talk to you in your inner self, in your mind, to lead you, to guide you.
I hope you can share this with some of your friends. If you're having a symptom, though, I want you to get help right now. And we want everyone to work on improving their diets and improving their stress. There might be someone out there that's suffering from coronary artery disease, and we want to let you know that there's hope today for you. So let's all pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to let other people know that there's truth in your word and that you want us to be healthy. And the text we read today about eating good food and having healthy lives is what we want. This is a blessing that you want to give to us, Father. And those are out there that are sick today, we want to pray for the healing. However you want to heal, Father, we want to trust you to do what's best in our lives. And thank you for the ability to be here today and to love each other. And we want to thank you for being our God is my prayer. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org.
PartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.